You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Richard Kaufman and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the latest Race to Dubai show. As Andy Sullivan claims his second tour title of the year in South Africa.
Love coming down here and just seemed to play really well. I mean, after Thursday as well, shooting level par, I didn't think I had much of a chance of winning. And then to be in the lead coming down the last few holes is it's a lovely feeling and I really enjoyed it.
The Englishman's stunning final round 66 meant he beat a group of four players by two strokes, including fellow Englishman David Howe.
Played beautifully this week. Probably made three really bad swings all week and they cost me shots each time, and first really good performance I've had this calendar year.
All the news and reaction to come from Johannesburg, as well as a look ahead to next week's WGC Cadillac Championship and the Africa Open with defending champion Thomas Aiken. So, hello, John. How you doing?
Morning. I have to say I'm very excited at Andy Sullivan's second win.
Interesting, isn't it? 2 weeks running, top-ranked player in the field wins in a day where any number of players could have won, but he was the one that emerged on top.
Yeah, there were quite a few players that were obviously in contention, but he was brilliant. I think one of the standouts for me was his bogey putt on 11 after he'd been in the water. Downhill, left to right, knocked it in. Obviously, I've always thought he was a good putter, but I like the way he plays the game, his attitude and everything. And to get his second win early in the season has been outstanding. Good performances from other players. David Howell had a chance. Coach Sear, the 42-year-old who was leading overnight, a good effort. It would have been a big deal for him to win it. You know, he's been a pro since 92. Maybe just a bridge too far, but great tournament on a good golf course that had got a lot of rain on it Saturday night.
Yeah, Kevin Feeling, Christopher Broberg, Anthony Wall, as well as Howe, all hit the front. As you say, Katsir leading the way at the start of the day. You had like 20 players within two shots of the lead. When you're in that situation like Sullivan was, how do you keep playing with a smile on your face? Because he looked like he was out for a Sunday stroll.
It's a hard thing to do, you know, is to actually play golf and enjoy it and not get in your own way. But he seems the best at doing it. You know, you never see him really get mad. But you see him smile a lot, whereas you see a lot of other players with very stern faces and sort of beating themselves up. But Sullivan seems to have managed it, and he'd be a good one to copy.
The added spice, obviously, this week, there was three open spots up for grabs. Of course, Andy gets one of those. David Howe and Anthony Wall get them as well. So three Englishmen getting the places there, all with experience, the latter two at least, and for Sullivan, a first major guaranteed.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Kevin Feeling, who finished second on an invite, because when you're tied, it comes down to world ranking. And, of course, his world ranking is well down. And to finish second in a tournament and not get an open spot's harsh.
Well, the bonus for him is he gets into next week's Africa Open.
Yes, it does. But, of course, you know, top five in co-sanction keeps you rolling on. The money isn't massive, but he's obviously playing well. He finished third in Hong Kong at the end of last year, didn't get his card back at the tour school. So he's got a chance to keep going.
Yeah, he's one of those players that many in Ireland feel could, you know, be a big-time player. Obviously, he's been based very much out in America, but great to see Kevin Feeling again delivering the goods on the European Tour stage. As for David Howe and Anthony Wall, I think out of everyone that we've mentioned, they were the two that probably felt it really could have been my week.
David Howe did have the lead and had a chance to tie on 18, holding an eagle putt, and then he three-putted in the end. His concentration might have just gone a bit, because he's normally a very good putter. But a good week, because he hadn't finished better than 25th, apart from Dubai. Anthony Wall, been around a long time, only won once back in 2000. That's a long time to wait, 15 years for your second win. He's underachieved for me. He's a better player than that.
Well, let's hear from the winner now, shall we? This is his reaction, Andy Sullivan, to a second European Tour title in a matter of months.
To be coming there in the lead, coming down the last few holes is it's a lovely feeling and I really enjoyed it. But I think that's just my personality. I just want to enjoy myself out there and keeps me relaxed. And I seem to play my best golf out here, especially in SA at the moment. But if you can't enjoy coming down the stretch there with the lead, you're struggling.
Well, what a year it's been for Andy Sullivan. This time last year, he was without a win outside the top 100 in the world rankings. Now he's knocking on the door, John, of that top 50. He's got a place at the Open. He's a two-time winner. He's kind of like a Cinderella story, really, isn't he, in a way?
Yeah, I've always thought, though, he was a good player. To get your first win's great. To get a second one so quickly. I mean, he's played well since he won his first event, which surprised me a little bit, because sometimes you can see people disappear. But I think he swings it well. He's got a good attitude. He's a solid player. I think he's plenty of wins to come. And yeah, it's nice to play in the Open at St Andrews. Of course it is. To get in the top 50, he needs to produce it in some bigger events because the ranking points wouldn't be that massive. So he's not in the top 50 at the moment. But he could potentially squeeze into the Masters.
Well, he won this one just a couple of miles down the road from where he won the South African Open at Glendower. This victory, though, was very different, wasn't it? There, he was kind of under the radar, seven shots back going into the final round. Of course, he was given a chance, really, by the way Charles Schwartzel collapsed. This one was different. He hit the front. Obviously, we know people did catch him at times, but he saw it through in the end.
Well, he did, but he was three behind overnight, but got off to a flying start. He went out in four under on a par of 37. Blau was shaky, went out in level par. Howell was playing great after sort of nine holes. He was out in three under, but then he found trouble at 13. But he made few mistakes. But as I say, that bogey-saving putt on 11 was amazing.
And I suppose the more he does this, the less we're going to have to talk about him being the spaceman and winning a trip to space for a hole-in-one, because that now pales into insignificance now, doesn't it, compared to what he's done in 2015. 17 under par for the 3 days on the harder course. He was level par, wasn't he, on the West course first day. To shoot 17 under par 3 days on the harder East course, I mean, that did some going, because really, after the first round, he's probably looking over his shoulder wondering whether he's going to make the cut.
Well, he probably was, but you know, the golf course was softened up by the rain, so he's very good at his distance control. He's one of the best putters at the moment I've ever seen. That putt he held on 18 to get to 17 under was brilliant downhill left to right. You get a bit of confidence, which is what it's all about with golfers, and you can do some damage, and he's done it.
So he's a big Liverpool fan, so a great Sunday overall for him. But how far can he go now? Because obviously he's in a major now. He's hopefully going to get into more of the bigger events by these victories. Can he get to another level, in your opinion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. He's got a good physique, he's got a very good swing, and he's got a great attitude, and he's got a good putting stroke. I mean, they're all ingredients to be a good player. And, he's confident, and he kind of takes it as it comes. But when he gets his chance, he's able to take them. So, yeah, I expect him to win a lot more.
And he's a great character, isn't he? Bubbly, smiley, as we've mentioned already. And it's great to see, and he's very much involved on the social media side of things. His Twitter account, @AndySullyGolf, showed a picture of the trophy that he won yesterday, tucked up in his bed, on the pillow, rested very nicely, and his tweets had all tucked up for the night. I don't know what he's going to do if he wins too many more trophies. There won't be much room in the bed, especially with his wife and little Ruby around as well. But great to see him involved in that. You've got a Twitter account, haven't you, John?
I have.
Yeah?
Yes.
All I can see in your Twitter picture is your ear.
Yes. Well, I am down as commentator with slightly larger than average ears, which is a fact.
So, some Sullivan stats from his victory. It's his second European Tour international schedule win in his 90th European Tour event. He played his first 83 European Tour events without a win, then, of course, two in his last seven. He's the second player this season to win their first two European Tour events in the same season, following Anirban Lahiri, of course, one in Malaysia and India. And he becomes the third English victory of the 2015 season. And, in fact, he's the third double win of the season because, of course, Brandon Grace has won a couple of tournaments as well. Now, a bittersweet week for David Howe. A couple of stray shots seem to cost him, but he does earn himself a place at the Open at St Andrews. He's been speaking with Mark Tompkins.
I've played beautifully this week. You know, probably made three really bad swings all week, and they cost me shots each time, and just hit one left on, what was it, 14 there today. That cost me a shot. And then just couldn't find the putts coming in, and but a great performance. It's not been the best start of the year, and this is the first really good performance I've had this calendar year, which has been great, and frustrating not to finish it off because I gave myself a great chance, but it wasn't to be.
Were you aware of what else was going on around you at the time? Do you look at leaderboards when you're on the course?
Yeah, very much so. I knew we had to eagle the last, and when I hit the green, we actually thought it was a bit closer. We thought it was about 20 foot away and was going to be a really good chance for eagle. Turned out to be nearer 50 feet, and I wanted to make sure I gave it a go, and unfortunately left that awkward distance back and made a poor effort at it, unfortunately. So looking like tied second, which is a great week. Obviously not what we wanted, but fair play to Andy Sullivan. Another great week for him down here in South Africa.
But the consolation is you've secured yourself a place in the Open at St Andrews.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted about that. That was one of the main reasons I came down here. I haven't performed well here over the years either, so we came specifically to try and qualify for the Open, obviously win the tournament as well, and to have come away with one of those two things is fantastic. I've not played an Open at St Andrews, and I'm not getting any younger, so I knew my chances were running out. It only goes there every 5 years, and I'm going to really enjoy that, so that should be a lovely week. So delighted with that, disappointed not to have won, but all in all a good week.
A nice soother, isn't it, for David Howe getting a place at the Open? He's got some good memories recently at St Andrews, hasn't he, John?
Yeah, he won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship in 2013, having not won for quite a long time. It's a great place to play the Open. I was lucky I played two there. Admittedly, we got to the course in a horse and cart back in those days. But no, it's a great golf course. And actually, St Andrews was designed to be played the other way around. And then in the late 19th century, they turned it round to the way it is now, and that's how you play the golf course. There'll be no charge for that.
Thank you very much. As for Howe, though, I mean, obviously a change of coach, shaking things up a bit seems to have done the desired effect for him.
Well, this game's all about confidence, so sometimes you need to change something. He's decided that he's changed his coach, working on his rhythm. He only put a couple of bad swings on it, but it's a confidence builder. And, of course, the carrot is he gets a spot in the Open, and the event's left with that now to qualify the Irish, the French and the Scottish, which is the week before the Open Championship. So other guys have got other chances, but he's in.
Anthony Wall, another who came close. Of course, Howell found the water at 14, Wall at 15. What did you make of Anthony Wall's week?
A very good week, Anthony Wall. As I said to you before, I think he's an underachiever. He always looks to swing it well, he looks to putt nicely, he seems to have a good attitude, but he's had trouble crossing the line, and he's not done it since 2000, which is quite a long time ago. But he's been he has made the top 50 in the world, because I remember him playing at the Grove a few years ago in 06 in a WGC event. Very consistent player who's been around the tour a long time.
Well, he also got the pleasure of speaking with Mark Tomkins afterwards.
Anthony, a round of 68, but a very frustrating end for you today.
Yes, it's all about hitting fairways, isn't it? That's the sign of a great golf course. I hit the fairway at the last, I'll probably make four. So that's the tale of the story.
To get off to an eagle start, though, that must have given you great confidence right at the start of the round.
Yeah, I played the par fives really well this week. I made par on 18 weekend, which is a shame, but yes, it was into the wind, so disappointed, very disappointing, because I really, really was feeling good about today.
I say, was there a feeling perhaps that the golf you're playing didn't yield a score as you would have liked today?
There was three or four times, I thought, in the middle of the round that I probably deserved to go in, but they were 20 foot, so, you know, they are a bit of luck involved, and the luck probably went not quite my way.
Anthony Wall, as you mentioned, he's had some injury problems.
Yeah.
He missed most of 2013 and had a bad hip. Seems to be getting back to his best. Nice little stat because he's in the Open. He was the top placed Brit at the 2006 Open. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. But that's, as I've said to you, you know, he is a good player. Injury is a tough thing to swallow, but he's come out the other side of it, and maybe he's going to have a big season.
So we mentioned Wall's injury. Another person who, coming back from injury, did really well this week was Jaco van Zyl, John.
Yeah, on a medical exemption, been out for a while, again injured, and produced, you know, in the end, he had a chance. He had a chance to win because he found the 18th in two, and had he knocked his eagle putt in, you never know. But yeah, he's lost a bit of weight, and it's good to see him back. There were a lot of good performances, really.
So give me the top 10, John.
Right, in 10th place, Adrian Ategui, closed with a 66, the impressive Spaniard. Tied seventh, there were three of them, Jax Blau, Chris Swanepoel and Byung-Hun An, which is a cracking score at Scrabble. He's played well this year. Then tied second, there were a few of them, Wally Coetzee, who led overnight, David Howell, who three-putted the last, needed to eagle it to tie, Anthony Wall, who we mentioned before, Jaco van Zyl, Kevin Phelan on an invitation. They were all on 15-under, and then we know that Andy Sullivan, in the end, prevailed by two shots to get his second victory in 7 weeks, and I bet they were doing cartwheels in Nuneaton.
I'm sure they were. Popular fellow at Nuneaton Golf Club. Congratulations to Andy Sullivan. Not so to me, because we're now going to talk about the tips that we had in our fantasy race to Dubai tips. I went with Gregory Bourdie. Our survey said miscut, unfortunately. Gordon Brand Jr. went with Richard Stern. He did a little bit better than me. Tied for 46th.
Well done.
For Richard, but neither is really.
You couldn't pick strawberries, really, could you?
No, not as far as this week was concerned. But as for the European Tour's fantasy race to Dubai game, I've done pretty well this week, but I won't show off. But I'm up right up there for the big prizes. But congratulations to Rufus Jones, who won this week's fantasy race to Dubai with 661,862 points. His team, Rufus R. Jones, featured Andy Sullivan as the star player, along with four others inside the top 10, including Anthony Wall, Jaco van Zyl, Byung-Hun An, and Thomas Aitken. Overall in the fantasy race Dubai, Dix 180 remains on top for a third straight week with 5.5 million points. To pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Okay, John, you've run us through the top 10 already. What about the top 10 in the race to Dubai standings?
It's still led by Danny Willett, who won, of course, down at the Nedbank. Lahiri, a two-time winner, is in second. Third is Ross Fisher. Fourth, Brandon Grace, another double winner. Fifth, Rory McIlroy. Sixth, Bernd Wiesberger. Another double winner is seventh, Andy Sullivan. Gary Stahl, the winner in Abu Dhabi, is eighth. Mark Warren is ninth. And the resurgent Swede, Alex Noren, 10th.
Yeah, so Andy Sullivan up to number seven. The man at number two, some news for him as well. Congratulations to Anaban Lahiri, who's been named the European Tour Race to Dubai Golfer of the Month for February, following his incredible run of form that saw him win the Maybank Malaysian Open and the Hero Indian Open in the space of just 3 weeks. I suppose, John, there was no other choice, really, given what Canavan had done.
No, absolutely not. It was an amazing victory, especially that he had in India. I mean, that was a very tight golf course indeed. And to be honest, the fairways, I've seen wider parking spaces.
The European Tour's announced that the Skolkovo Golf Club will play host to the ninth edition of the M2M Russian Open in 2015. The event takes place from September the 3rd to the 6th this year. And not long after being announced as Europe's Ryder Cup captain for 2016, Darren Clark took time out of his busy schedule to take part in a golf development clinic in Johannesburg to give disadvantaged children from the area lessons on the basics of the game. And it's clearly something he's very passionate about.
I was very fortunate that my parents took me out and playing golf when I was 9 years old. I had every opportunity to go out and play as much as I wanted. You know, the kids here obviously don't have that opportunity. So any time they do get a chance to come out here and hit some balls, even more special for them. They're like sponges. They just want information. And there's been a few really, really good swings that have noticed there this morning.
It's inspiration, isn't it, for the kids watching? And I suppose now that he's Ryder Cup captain, even more importance when Darren Clark does this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's about promoting the game, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's growing in all parts of the world, especially down in Africa, and you've got someone who's won a major and is going to be Ryder Cup captain. Couldn't be better for them, could it?
Next up on the European Tour schedule, we stay in South Africa for the Africa Open in the Eastern Cape. John, this event has been won every time by South Africans. Is there any reason why it particularly favours them?
Well, I think the grasses have a lot to play in it. You know, I mean, you need quite a game and an experience to cope with the grain on the greens. But, of course, we've seen Andy Sullivan win twice this year down in Africa. So it's not a done deal. But I don't think, as you say, an African has won it all the time. But that might change this year, Richard. And I think I have just the tip when we get round to it.
We'll come to that. Just give us an overall feeling of who is going to be playing.
Oh, it's a star-studded field, as you can imagine. Darren Clark's going to be there, who we just heard for. Jeevan Milkers-Singh, whose last victory came in the Scottish Open. Oliver Wilson, who won, of course, at the Dunhill Links last year. Howell David, back in form. Gregory Bordy, multiple winners, Brett Rumford, Raphael Jacquelin, Chris Woods, last win came in Qatar. And then a little bit further down, David Horsey, who won in Russia last year that we mentioned before. And a host of other players. So, you know, it's co-sanctioned, a lot of South African presence in it, and it should be another great week.
Yeah, you mentioned Chris Wood. Good to see him back, injured his wrist in a gym fall back in November. So this is his first event back since the Portugal Masters. So best of luck to him. He's done well here in the past as well. Lost in a playoff back in 2011. Andrew Doat's making his first appearance since winning in Thailand. And good to see Rickard Karlberg back after a few weeks off, having got married, and then a few weeks on honeymoon. So I'm sure he'll be ready to get back into action. Now, one man who won't be there is the defending champion, Thomas Aitken, as he's qualified for the Cadillac Championship, which we'll talk about in a little while. Our man, Mark Tompkins, caught up with Thomas last week.
Thomas, obviously you're playing at the WGC next week, so you won't be defending your Africa Open title. Was that a tough decision for you to have to make?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite a bit of a shame, scheduling-wise. Obviously, I would have loved to have been in East London to defend the Africa Open. It's a fantastically run event, an unbelievable golf course, one that I've really done well at in the past. I think my worst finish in 6 years there is 12th. Yeah, it's a pity that it fell on the same week as the WGC, but a WGC really selects itself. You know, if you get in those, you've got to play them. Durrell's another place I've played well at in the past. The course has changed quite a bit last year, so I'm eager to get over and see what they've done and see how it plays. But yeah, looking forward to the week ahead.
But I'm assuming you'll be hoping another South African can take up the mantle that you've left behind.
Definitely. I mean, I think the Sunshine Tour has done a great job in getting so many co-sanctioned events and events of such good quality. I think it's important that our younger players get to play in those events, and it's a great opportunity for them to win a tournament such as the Africa Open or the Joburg Open this week and gain a European Tour card. So I'll be watching eagerly from the States, and hopefully one of our top youngsters can bring home that silverware and keep the tradition of South Africans having won the event.
So, neck on the block time, John Hawksworth. As Thomas mentioned again, no one from foreign reaches has won this event, so it's South Africans only. So what we'll do is give us a South African name and a non-South African name, if you please.
Neil Skittycat.
He's the South African.
Indeed. And Andy Sullivan.
You're going for a back-to-back wins.
I am.
Could get him a place in the Masters if he did that.
Yourself?
I am going to go South African-wise for Jaco van Zyl, who has finished in the top five there the last 4 years. And, of course, great week just the back off last week, finishing runner-up. So, in form, loves the course. And I'm stuck between two Challenge Tour players from a non-South African. I am going to go for Andrew Johnston.
Brilliant. Well, if he wins it, I'll crawl back to Freckleton.
Okay.
Which is 235 miles.
Okay, going to hold you to that. Andrew Johnson is a player who
has gone,
gone up another level
since
winning the Challenge Tour rankings last year. Won a few times, lots of runner-up finishes, and settled in nicely at the start of the European Tour Race to Dubai season 2015. So I will go for Andrew Johnston and Jaco van Zyl. You've gone for Neil Skitterkat and Andy Sullivan. But we should say, of course, it's not the only event we'll be keeping an eye on this week. Because, as Thomas Aiken mentioned, it's also the first of the WGC events of the year over in the United States with the Cadillac Championship at Doral. The blue monster bore its teeth last year, didn't it, John? It's a toughy old course.
Oh, it is.
Great field, though.
It is, and the only guy that I can see who's not playing, of course, is Tiger Woods, who we know is injured, and we wish him well. But, yeah, there's plenty of good players there. You know, this is a top 50 event in the world, and they're all there, and to pick out a winner in that, such a class field, is very difficult.
I think I have to look back at what happened last year. First of all, only four players finished under par. Obviously, Patrick Reed won it. He's in great form. Obviously, we're speaking right now before we've got the conclusion of the Honda Classic, but he's right up there going into Monday as a potential winner there. So he's obviously in great form, defending champion. He's obviously going to be one to watch out for. But then you've got people like Adam Scott, who obviously hasn't played that much yet in 2015. Jason Day's shown some really good form. There's, as you say, a number of potentials who could come away with the spoils.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson's back. He's been playing all right, actually.
But what about Rory McIlroy? Obviously missed the cut at the Honda Classic. It's a rare one for him. He hasn't done so for almost a year. Do you think he can bounce back in style?
You know, I mean, he's human, isn't he? You can't finish brilliantly or win every event. He could quite easily pop up this week and win. From what I saw when I watched him in Abu Dhabi on the range on Sunday morning, it was the best striking I've ever seen from anybody I've ever watched in the world in all my time in golf. He had it on a string, so we wish him well. But, you know, there's some other players that could do with kind of good weeks, like Louis Oosthuizen, who's been quiet of late, Webb Simpson, former winner of the US Open. They're all there. To pick a winner is very difficult, but I think I've got one.
Just before you give us your winner, do you think it's an advantage for players like Adam Scott, who haven't played at the Honda Classic, where they've had so many stoppages, obviously going through to fifth day, he'll be nice and rested, whereas they might be feeling the effects of a tough week?
No, these guys are fit. It's early in the season. I think Scott would have preferred to have played a little bit more. We'll see whether he's ring rusty when he comes out. You know, sometimes you've got to go into 5 days.
So we're all waiting with great anticipation for the John Hawksworth tip for the WGC event.
Yes, and you might have to wait another minute because I'm decided.
Okay, well, you say, just a sneaky outside feeling for Jamie Donaldson, but that's a sneaky outsider. I am going to go with, do you mind if I go first?
No, I do, yes, because I'm going to get mine out, Brooks Koepka.
Fine, I'm going for Dustin Johnson.
Well, that's I wish you luck.
Thank you. I don't feel like I need it, but well, look forward. May the best man win. So remember, this week, both the WGC Cadillac Championship and the Africa Open count towards the Fantasy Race to Dubai. Well, that's just about all from us, too, for now. Many congratulations to Andy Sullivan for that second win of the season. We'll be back next week to reflect on events in Doral and at the Africa Open. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Tshwane Open in Pretoria. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But for now, from John Hawksworth and myself, Richard Kaufman, see you soon.